So tonight I'm going to start by reading a koan. And for those of you who are new to this practice, a koan is a teaching story. And this is from the Mumonkan, which is the 48 koan assembled by Master Mumon, which are used throughout Zen around the world as the most fundamental teaching stories for students who have broken through into some degree of awakening. Step by step we go through these koan. There's 48 of them, and this is the 34th koan, and I'm going to read it to you. So the title of it is Learning is Not the Way. And the case is very short and very to the point, and I'll read it to you. So the Zen master, very famous Zen master, Nansen, said, "Mind is not Buddha. Learning is not the way. Mind is not Buddha. Learning is not the way." So I think it would be worth just defining a couple of words in this. One is Buddha, the literal meaning of which is one who is awakened. Awakened one. Awakened to what? The pictogram for Buddha in Chinese, which was the original language in which the teachings of Zen were written, and in China it was called Chan. Chan Buddhism. It became Zen when it came to Japan. And that was so easy to say, it stuck when it came over to the West. The basic meaning of Chan and Zen comes from the Sanskrit dhyana, which means absorption, which is part of this aspect of Buddha. But what is this Buddha? So this pictogram in Chinese is basically two sheaths of wheat tied together. Tied together. So two sheaths of wheat are one. So Nansen said, mind, and I presume he means by this a capital mind, meaning the essence of your mind, not the contents of your mind. Mind is not Buddha. Learning is not the way. Way with a capital W. Now the way in Chinese, the term for that is Dao, T-A-O, it's pronounced Dao. This was the one of the fundamental words used by Lao Tzu, who was the founder of an earlier teaching in China called Taoism. And when Buddhism came from India and collided with Taoism in China, there was a profound similarity between the kind of Buddhism brought to China, which was fundamental, meditative, enlightenment-oriented Buddhism. Not doctrinal, just going straight to the heart. When it met with this very earthy, organic ecology called Taoism, the two of them kind of melded and formed this stream called Chan, or Zen. Okay, so the way might be thought of as the way of truth, the way of heart, true reality. In a sense, it's the same as Buddha. It's the way to taking these two sheaths and tying them together into one, which is awakening. So Nansen said, learning is not the way. Learning is not the way. So this is why this process is so difficult for us. If you remember back to when you were a child, or if you have children or grandchildren, which I happen to have had children, and I have children and grandchildren, and you observe the from an intimate level, the intense process of learning, of education, from the time you are born until the present moment, all the things that we need to learn, including language, all the skills, all the dangers to be avoided, all the positive things to be striven for, all the names of people you know, their habits, their personalities, your habits, your reflexes, your feelings, how to name them, how to describe them, how to avoid them. Mathematics, reading, all these things. Enormous task, enormous. It never ends. Even when you're in your 60s or 70s or 80s, hopefully you're still learning. You're still in the process of accumulating understanding, knowledge, skills, all this stuff, moving in a direction of greater understanding, greater smartness, perhaps. And Nansen said, learning is not the way. So the tool of learning, which we have so profoundly absorbed, all the ways in which we learn, when we bring them here, they don't take us too far. That's why this is such a puzzling, difficult, steep path at times. What does this mean? Where am I going? Why am I doing this? What's this zazen? What's the point of it? And then we try to make a picture of it, to figure it out. We hear some teaching, the teacher gives a teisho. We read something about Zen. We have some insight. We try to fit it into prior understanding, prior knowledge, and build upon it. Hold on to that and go to the next step and the next step and the next step. This whole process of evolving towards something, becoming something, gaining some understanding, perhaps losing some misunderstanding. This whole process, Nansen said, is not the way. Learning is not the way. Mind is not Buddha. All the things we learned about Zen through our deep meditation, through looking deeply inside, going to the essence of mind, turning the flashlight of mind inner self, all the things that I've talked about and the things we've done in Zazen, that is not Buddha. So this koan is pointing to a very steep teaching. Someone once asked Bodhidharma, who was the very first Zen patriarch, he was the one that brought Chan, or Buddhism, to China, where it became Chan. And he said, someone asked him, how do I become enlightened? How do I gain enlightenment? He said, make your mind like a wall and enter there. Make your mind like a wall. Sometimes he said, make your mind like a wall 100 feet high. Like a wall. Where is there learning there? Where is there any shred of achievement? So different, so utterly different. We enter this very strange realm. We don't know quite how to enter it. How do we leave behind all these tools that help us survive? That when we walk out the door, we need to pick right up and use again very skillfully and continue. How do we put these two things together? It's not easy. This process is very unique, very different, because all the learning that we've done, all the things we've gained, all the understandings we've had, however old you are, every single minute of your life, learning, 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 something is missing. Somehow there's something that got divided. There was a self inside and a world outside. All the learning in the world couldn't bring those together. Couldn't tie those two sheaths, me and the world, together. And even everything I've learned about Zen, mind, truth with a capital T, enlightenment, all these things that we've learned from our practice, all the insights, some of them flashing insights, profound insights, somehow it didn't get us there because we tried to hold on to them. We tried to make them something that was an achievement, that brought us to the next step, that improved us in some way. There was something lacking, and we had to work on that, improve it through an understanding, something profound. We're going to a spacious place with no form, color, sound, smell, taste, touch, some deep samadhi. But when you come out of the samadhi, here this world is confronting you. Mind is not Buddha. Tying these two sheaths together. Learning is not the way. The way. What way are we talking about? The original way. Meaning your actual real life. Your real life is the way. So there's something very different about this process. It's really exceedingly difficult to even put into words. And so we have these koan that put it in words, but put in words that are very tough to bite into and sink your teeth into. They don't allow you to enter in the old way, which is the way of understanding, learning. All the names and words that we apply to things, even spiritual words like mind, truth, enlightenment, all these things, they don't help us here. So someone asks Nansen, what is the Buddha? This is a classic question. Students have brought this to their teachers throughout the ages. What is Buddha? Meaning, what is this highest truth? What is this enlightenment? What is this experiencing being, these previously two separated sheaths, me here, the world here, tied together? What is that? Now, this is not an idle question. This is a question from your deepest heart. What is it? Why am I sitting here? I want to know this all the way down to the bottom. I have to know it. What is it? Now, Nansen was exceedingly kind here. He said to this, I presume, a monk. Perhaps the monk had some degree of understanding and some degree of awakening into the nature of reality. Mind is Buddha. There's a koan that came in the Mumon Kan a little bit before this one. I'll maybe read that as well. Nansen said, mind is not Buddha. Well, wait a minute. Basso said, mind is Buddha. You're saying mind is not Buddha. Learning is not the way. What? What do I do with that? This kind of statement, there's a wonderful description in Zen, a very colorful description of this very difficult, very steep, very sheer, absolute utterance. The only way in which it could help you would be for you to propel yourself into this space. There's no way you can think your way into this space. He's taking it all away. Mind is not Buddha. Learning is not the way. What do I do? Where do I go? Sometimes this state, this space, is described as an anvil hurtling through an empty sky. An anvil hurtling through an empty sky. This object, it's made of iron. It is impenetrable. Whatever is touched by it will be smashed, obliterated. And it's in an empty sky. It's alone. It's absolute. There's nothing outside it. It's just it. It's just this anvil flying through space. This is your life. This is your Buddha. This is your truth. He's pointing directly at this. Mind is not Buddha. Learning is not the way. What is it? So there's a commentary on this by Mumon. And these commentary are very important with very difficult koan like this. They point you in a direction. So the commentary of Mumon is this. Of Nansen, it has to be said that on getting old, he was lost to shame. He just abandoned himself to shame. Just opening his stinking mouth a little, he reveals his family's shame. However, we must say that few are grateful for it. This is classic Zen parlance. This superficial disparagement, which is very thinly veiling a deep respect and profound gratitude for these words. I'll read it again. Instead of Nansen, it has to be said that on getting old, all right, so perhaps this was later in Nansen's teaching, but maybe old also means really mature, really has deepened his Zen insight to a very profound, expensive level. On getting old, he was lost to shame. Shame. What a shame to have to even open your mouth to just steer someone wrong when it's so obvious it's right here. It's just this. There's nothing need be said. Just to open your mouth is already to go wrong. Nansen himself said that learning is not the way. It's lost to shame. Just opening his stinking mouth a little. Just the tiniest. So what is he pointing at here? The tiniest conceptualization. The tiniest picture of it. The tiniest wanting to get something. To understand. To improve yourself. To let go of something. To do anything with the way that the forms are presenting in this moment is already to be going in the utterly wrong direction. Just opening his stinking mouth a little, he reveals his family's shame. Now, part of the shame, it's an interesting term to talk about family shame in a lot of these different koan. The shame is that one would make anything special, make anything of what is already one's birthright. You are originally it. So to even talk about it, to become aware of it, to make it anything special, is to be the ultimate narcissist. It's already done. It's a done deal. You are exactly as you are right now. You are this fabric presenting right here. How could you make anything special out of that? How could you talk about it? How could you create a religion around it, an ism around it? Zen is very radical. Zen pulls the rug out from under itself. It destroys itself. Any slight attachment to this path is already to be going in the wrong direction. So here's Mumon. He's a great Zen master. And he's talking about family, meaning the Zen family, shame. Even to begin to point at it as anything special, anything unique. And yet it is. This is a strange paradox. It is so unique. It's so rare in this world. Of learning, of ideas, of attachment to viewpoints, discriminations, and everything that emanates from that. All the divisions, the hatred. You just have to turn the TV on any day of the week, turn on the radio, read the newspaper, go on the internet. It's just surrounding us. Walk down the street, pull out of your driveway, have some car, you know, honk at you and then give you the finger, which happened to me yesterday. It's surrounding us. This division, these two sheaths separate. I'm here, the world's there. You know, if I don't step on your head, you'll step on my head. This whole thing. What a rare path, what a rare thing to tie those two halves together. To even want to be have the slightest faith that that's possible, that it's something that you might want to do, that it's something that might be of value, how rare that is. So then there's a verse here, and the verse really points this out. Again, in this stark way. I want you to think about, reading this as well, the imbecility of this. It's got an idiocy to it. It's so straight, so basic. You can't even begin to conceive of it, to express it. I was talking to a friend tonight about Forrest Gump, and what is it about Forrest Gump that just made him so endearing? His stupidity, his idiocy, his simplicity. You said stupid is as stupid does. And in watching this movie, you begin to sense that he is the wisest person in the movie. There's this certain imbecilic letting go of any understanding, letting go of any words, any pictures, any learning, any even subtle ideas, mind, Buddha, all the stuff, just letting it go. Like an anvil hurtling through the sky, you enter your actual experience. You physically pour yourself into it. Your whole heart, your whole mind, before your thinking even begins to arise. And this is original. There's nothing to be achieved. It's already here. It's done. It's a done deal. As I've said before, it's done and dusted. How else could you have it? How else could you have something that can never be lost unless it was original to you? If it's something you can achieve, I guarantee you it's something you can lose. So, Mumon has a verse here. The verse goes like this. The sky is clear and the sun appears. Rain falls and the earth becomes wet. With exceeding kindness, he explains everything. Yet how few are able to grasp it. He explains everything. What did he explain? He said, mind is not Buddha. Learning is not the way. Mind is not Buddha. Buddha is not Buddha. Buddhism is not Buddha. Zazen is not Buddha. Enlightenment is not Buddha. Learning is not the way. Achievement is not the way. There's nowhere to go. Nothing to get. The sky is clear and the sun appears. Rain falls and the earth becomes wet. What more do you need to know? What learning do you need to have? You've already learned all that other stuff. You know that. You know how to survive. When you walk out of here, you won't walk in front of a truck, hopefully. You know how to tie your shoes. But do you know how to tie two sheaves of wheat together? I'll say it again. The sky is clear and the sun appears. Rain falls and the earth becomes wet. With exceeding kindness, he explains everything. This is radical. When you fold your legs and you sit in Zazen, you are doing a radical thing. It is radical. Don't go halfway. Enter it with your whole mind and body. You be that anvil hurtling through the empty sky. You be it. What is that anvil? Incense smell. Fan sound. Coolness on my skin. Legs folded. Back straight. This is that anvil. There's no place to make a dividing line. There's no way you can cut it. No way you can drill a hole in it. It's solid, and anything it touches is smashed to smithereens. Any idea, any concept, any idea of gaining something, losing something, learning something. This is the kind of Zazen that you need to do to enter this space. This is that 100-foot-high wall. You do it with your whole mind and body. It's almost a physical thing. It's like becoming Forrest Gump. You become so stupid. Stupid is as stupid does. You become an imbecile. This is an imbecilic practice. This is not about becoming smart, wise, flashing your eyes, halos around your head. This is imbecilic. This is the space you have to enter. If you're counting your breath, it's imbecilic. What an imbecilic thing. One. Two. Where are you going with that? What are you gaining from that? One is just one. Following the breath is the same way. What are you gaining? What are you learning? Mu. Shikantaza, which you drop it all and you just... The sky is clear and the sun appears. Rain falls and the earth becomes wet. And he says, with exceeding kindness, he explains everything, yet how few are able to grasp it. Now, it's not just grasp it. It's not just, like, completely get it and embrace it. Let's go back a few steps. Even begin to have the slightest appreciation for what this koan is teaching. The slightest glimmer of appreciation, like, this might be at all helpful. It might be at all useful. It might be something you want to move towards. Learning is so important. All these things, all these ideas I've accumulated, I have to have opinions. I've got to be consistent. I can't just walk into a party and have no opinion about anything. How few are able to grasp the critical importance of this. The deep, profound value of it. And even that is like saying too much. It's like gilding the lily. So, be that anvil hurtling through space. This is the way, all right, the way. This is not learning. It's not mind. It's not Buddha. It's not enlightenment. It's not zazen. It's not the way that I get into the space. It's not the little tricks and the ways I work around these sore points in my mind. The way that I console myself. Whatever it might be. Be the anvil. You have to just completely smash all of that, obliterate it, enter profoundly into your actual experience. This is this, tying those two sheaths together. It's original. It's what you already are. Now, to do this, you have to take whatever comes. It's very difficult to get. To be this anvil, to be this imbecile, to enter this space, you have to take it as it comes. You can't pick and choose. If it's cold, it's cold. If it rains, it gets wet. If the clouds break away, the sun shines. If a pain is in your knee, there's a pain in your knee. If there's a fearful feeling in your mind, there's a fearful feeling in your mind. See how basic it gets? Very straight, very direct. No skirting around, no explaining, no rationalizing. It's very direct. This space, just in this space, don't worry, because when you walk out, you can pick up all your learning again. But we're learning a very different way here, critical to balance the insanity of everything else. So you have to take it as it comes. This anvil, exactly the way it is hurtling in this moment. Open the space for it. Just open it up. So we have a little bit of time, and I think I'll open it up for some questions.